My friends, what is life? What is death? Death is a sleep. Paul speaks of those who have died in Christ as being asleep in Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 18. Frequently, the Bible refers to death as a sleep. First, may I tell you that never at any time did inspired men of New Testament times use any figure of speech that would imply that death to the child of God is a haunting dread. The sleep of death suggests rest and relief. When one has worked all day battling the cares and duties of life, seeking to accomplish the purposes of the day and objectives of life, what a wonderful experience to pillow his head on a bed for rest. Just to completely relax every muscle of his body, to rest his mind as well as his body in peaceful slumber. Oh yes, beloved, sleep is so important that man cannot live long without sleep. You know, sometimes we desire just to go to sleep and forget the troubles and the cares of this life. Yet, when we awake, we find that they are not all gone. But with the sleep in death of a Christian, it won't be that way. The sleep of death for the faithful children of God will be complete, superlative rest from the cares of this world. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14, the inspired apostle said, "But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as the rest, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also will them fallen asleep in Christ will God bring with him." 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 14. Sleep implies not only rest and renewed strength, but also an awakening in the morning. Surely, that is what the apostle was writing about when he said, "Even so them also which are asleep in Jesus will God bring with him in the morning." When day is done, our works are finished, and the battles of life are won, the Christian falls asleep in Jesus, totally freed from this world. Then, in the morning of the resurrection, what a glad day that will be! A perfect, endless day of bliss, where there will be no need for rest nor sleep, because there will be no night there, and nothing to mar the beauty and happiness of that eternal day, when we may bask in the sunlight of God's love and power forever and forever. Ladies and gentlemen, are you listening? Death is seed time for the future. In death there is seed for birth. The inspired apostle said, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body." 1 Corinthians 15:18. It has been said that this life is but the womb of the life to come. Through death we enter into a new immortal existence. Beloved, the gateway of death is hinged to open only one way. No return. And for the saved, there is nothing to return for. The soul of man never dies. While in this life, when the body is asleep, the soul is not asleep. And in death, the soul is not asleep. In death, the natural body, the seed, is sown in corruption, but will be raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body, declared Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, 43-44. Beloved, death is a glorious day for the saints of God. Our weak and mortal bodies we live in today will become seed time for the future. The farmer sows the seed into the ground where it dies before giving birth to a new plant. Even though the body of the seed will decay, there is God given life in the seed that will perpetuate life, causing the birth of a new plant. At death, our bodies may be taken to the cemetery and buried, but the life in that body will, in God's day, bring forth a new immortal body that shall never die. You know, in the natural body, we see birth and transformation all the while. For example, the caterpillar, at proper time, will throw off his ugly, unsightly body, and behold, the birth of a beautiful butterfly of God-made colors. An acorn falls into the soil. It decays, but God-given life reproduces a beautiful, stately oak tree. Only God can make a butterfly. Only God can make a tree. Only God can give a soul and create a body, even our natural body. Only God can keep a soul and make an immortal body that shall never die. The God that did one can do the other. Isn't that worth living for? Isn't that worth dying for? Life has its determined boundaries, some visible and some invisible. The limit of life is invisible. After the death of Moses, Joshua commanded the Israelites, "Prepare your victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess." Joshua chapter 1, verse 11. The crossing of the Jordan was essential to receiving the promise of God. Preparation was essential. Prepare your victuals. Time was essential. Within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan. There were those known, visible factors of life. But, ladies and gentlemen, no man knows the day nor the hour when he shall cross over the river of death. You can be sure of that. Today, while we live, we have multiple choices. We may choose to prepare or not to prepare. But the crossing of the Jordan of death is not an elective decision. The river of death is just ahead. Whether 3 decades, 3 years, 3 hours, or 3 seconds, it is inevitable. In one way, men are alone in death. The children of Israel were to march in company across the Jordan River. But let me tell you, each one of us must cross the Jordan River of death alone. Friends and loved ones may go with us to the bank of the river. They may hold our hands in comfort and love as we begin to step towards the edge of the river, but that is as far as they can go. The bank of the river is the determined boundary. When we step out into the waters of the river of death, no one in this world can take one step with us. That part of life's journey must be made alone. Death is an individual, personal matter. You know, my friends, in another way, one is not alone in death. Although loved ones and friends must bid farewell unto the morning of the resurrection, as they stand in awe looking out toward the river of death, the faithful child of God has full assurance that he will not have to cross the Jordan River of death alone. The greatest event of the Christian's life, the entrance through the gateway of death into the beautiful paradise of God, will have the Prince of Glory, the King of all kings, to walk with him down into the river of death and ultimately usher him through the majestic portals of the heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. Remember, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Bible refers to death as an enemy because, oftentimes, its swift, irrevocable actions would seem to be that of an enemy. Death may break in pieces or consume the body as a cancer, cell by cell, until the beautiful and most marvelous handiwork of God, created by divine perfection and skill, is utterly destroyed, committed to the dust of the earth. No place on earth where man dwells has death avoided. Where is the city the town, our community, without a cemetery? Where is the community of people where happiness has not been marred by death? Where is the place where no weeping of widows and crying of orphans have not been heard? Where is the country where death has not marched with sword and fire, ravaging humanity through war, destruction, and desolation? Death revels on the battlefields. Death marches under the banner of hate, greed, envy, and lust. The murderer is an expert with death. Death may not reveal time nor circumstance of final call. We may meet death at home or abroad, at noon meal or evening slumber, on the highway or in the air, in the windstorm or the fire, at the business or at church. That is positively no escape and often no advance warning. From the summit of the Alps to the valleys of the lowlands, from the king's palace to the hermit's hut, death forces its way. There are no bypaths, no detours, which one may take to avoid death. This is an appointment, good or bad, that all men must fill. The inspiration of God declared, "It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this cometh judgment." Hebrews 9, verse 27. But thanks be to our Lord and Redeemer, death as an enemy may be destroyed. In the first place, Christ Jesus subdued death, which was so devastating, that is, spiritual death in sin. Paul wrote, "And you did he make alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins." Ephesians 2, verse 1. Those who were dead in sin were made alive in Christ through faith and obedience to God's word, obtaining remission of sins by virtue of Christ's blood, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Hebrews 9, 22, and Romans chapter 6 and the first 6 verses. My friends, are you listening? Death conquered. There is victory in the resurrection. There can be no doubt about it. Jesus, our Lord, conquered death, gaining complete victory over death, Hades, and the grave when he arose from the dead. The apostle's affirmation revealed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 are indisputable. He said, "Death is swallowed up in victory. And victory is through our Lord Jesus Christ, who broke the bars of death in his resurrection from the dead." The resurrection of Christ is the absolute assurance of the resurrection of the saints of God. The apostle wrote, "If Christ hath not been raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins." 1 Corinthians 15:17. Christ's death and resurrection constitute the greatest victory of life and death. My friends, death may be the gateway to hell. Death is an appointment that no man can avoid. Death is the gateway from this life to heaven or to hell. In the same verse of the Bible where death is affirmed to be inescapable, it is declared, "After this cometh the judgment." The greatest fear, the greatest dread ever to be known should be that of the unsaved as they contemplate passing through the gateway of death into hell. And don't you forget it. Hell is real and just as certain as there is a God in heaven. Some men who lived a life of disbelief in Almighty God indicated their fear of hell as they came to the gateway of death. Gibbon, the historian and skeptic, said, "The present is a fleeting moment. The past is no more. And my prospect of futurity is dark and doubtful." Hobbes, the infidel philosopher, said, "If I had a whole world to dispose of, I would give it to live one day." The realism of death must be one man's most sobering thought in the finality of all things. Today, we often speak of death as things that are not final, but ladies and gentlemen, there is one final thing of life, and that is death. We may talk about final examinations, final notice, final word, final departure, and so on. But let me tell you, the departure through the gateway of death is positively final. There will be no recalls, no returns, within a week, a month, a year, or millenniums of time. In eternity, all things are final, forever and forever. Beloved, are you ready for that final day? You know, the rich man in Hades was aware of the fact that his destiny in hell was final. He could not return, but he wanted Abraham over in paradise to send someone to his five brothers and warn them of the finality and reality of death and hell, lest they also come to this place of torment, he said. My friends, death is the portal into heaven. As we enter the gateway into the yet unknown, there may be some apprehensions. The unknown to some people might seem like walking into the darkness. But in heaven, there is no darkness, no night there. We think of dangers in the darkness of night. When the sun retires and darkness of night encompasses our habitation, we often become concerned about dangers, perils, and evils. Fears seem to become amplified in the darkness of night. So often the dark hours of sorrow, sickness, disappointments, trials, affliction, and bereavement seem to be an endless night, and the sunlight of day will never come. But my friends, in heaven, there will not be one moment of darkness. There will be no power nor circumstance that may ever cast a shadow over the beauty of the sunshine of God's eternal day of His wonderful love. And that everlasting day of happiness in heaven, all fears, sorrows, disappointments, sickness, bereavements will have been dispelled forever. There will be no night there. In heaven, there will be no death. There will be no death chamber partings, no tears, no graves, no funeral processions. Death will never invade the eternity of heaven. What an immeasurable contrast. Death, the gateway to hell, and death, the portal into heaven. The most serious thoughts I have ever entertained in my life have been in the presence of death. There is nothing so dark and dismal as a death chamber without hope. But let me tell you, beloved, that is nothing more comforting, although the parting may be sad, than to stand by the side of a dear Christian mother or an honored Christian father, as I have experienced. Depart in peace with God and enter through the portals of glory into that beautiful, wonderful, celestial city of our God. Death to the child of God is beautiful.